Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants. Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 107, A New Legacy of the Purple Pants Podcast. I serve as your humble and so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah. Hello, welcome everybody. Listen, baby boy is back on American soil. I'm back from my vacation. Let me just tell y'all. If you ever take a vacation, make sure you take a vacation for the vacation, okay? I had to take me 2 days just to rest and lay in my bed. I ain't want to answer nobody's phone calls. I ain't want to do nothing. I just want to lay in my bed and eat and drink. But I had an amazing time. It was my first international trip since this whole pandemic that has happened. And I was like a little nervous to travel just because, like, you know, I want to be safe. But at the same time, you know, baby boy wants to live life. I've been working a whole year and a half staying in the house. Like, I want a little fun in my life. And so I decided to treat myself, so I went to Iceland. But before I get into the rest of this story, if you haven't already, please make sure you're subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We are there. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Write a review. Tell a friend. Listen, shout out to the Purple Pants Posse. And hello, first-time listeners. What's going on? So, yes, I was nervous and excited to travel. You know, I had to get a COVID test before I went, 72 hours, went to an urgent clinic, paid $70. OK, for them to some very explicit things to both of my nostrils. Now, you know, after I got the COVID test, I'm like, you know, I don't want to see nobody for the next 2 days. I want to make sure I play it safe. And I was able, I drove to New York because, listen, you know, baby boy on a budget. So sometimes it's cheaper to fly internationally out of JFK than Philadelphia. And most people that go on vacations, they like to lay at the beach. They like to be at a resort drinking some alcohol on the beach. Now, that's me as well. But also me, I like adventure. I like to go hiking. I like to go see places I've never seen before. I like to change the weather. Okay. If it's hot in Philly, I want to go somewhere where it's a little bit chilly. If it's cold in Philly, I want to go somewhere where it's hot. So I really had such a great time in Iceland. I went to the northern part of the country, went hiking. I went to see some waterfalls that were so beautiful. Like, took a 2-hour hike in rain to see this amazing waterfall, this volcano, okay? Supposed to see this active volcano, but baby, the way the rain and the wind is set up on the island of Iceland, you could be in one part where it's pouring down, raining and foggy, and that's where, you know, my 45-minute hike to the volcano. So literally, I got to the base of the volcano and couldn't see it because it was literally, like, right in front of me. There was lava, okay? Active lava. Now, it was hard. But on some parts, you could see the smoke coming up. And, you know, I'm a little adventurous. I jumped up on it because I wanted to see the volcano. I didn't hike 45 minutes in rain. I want to see the volcano. But literally, the fog was so I could see the base of it, but I could not see the rest of it. I saw some Game of Thrones scenes, drove throughout the country, drove on the other side of the country where it was sunny and shining. It was, like, so amazing. Another thing that I have to say is that I've traveled to a lot of European countries before. I've been to South Africa. I've been to Mexico. You know, I've been all over the world. Been to South America. And, you know, I will say, as a black man that travels, there have been parts of Europe that I've traveled to that when you walk by the locals, they stare, like, you know, they just give you that look, or, like, you know. But I have to say, in Iceland, maybe because it ain't that many people there, I just really felt like ain't nobody. Listen, I just felt like I could be myself. I felt like nobody was looking at me. I felt like, you know, they didn't double take. Everyone was, like, friendly, so nice. Another reason why I chose Iceland was that, you know, everybody going to Tulum, Mexico, all these other places. Listen, I want to travel, but I want to travel safe. I want to travel where it's not a lot of people. But one quick story that I had to tell y'all is that, so you have to get a COVID test to come back to the U.S. And so you have to like register with like Iceland, they national database, you know, got to register with them. And you know, there's only two COVID testing sites in the country, one in Reykjavik and the other on like the southern part of the country. So, my last 2 days I stayed in Reykjavik, you know, a nice little plush hotel with a jacuzzi and a spa. You know, I do the woods and the hiking, and then I also do a little spa. So register online. Okay, only two spots, the one in Reykjavik. Okay, so they got like the time slots. Now, when I was driving through Reykjavik, going towards the northern part of the country, I drove past the COVID line. I was like, oh, that's the place right there. Line was a little long, but I'm like, oh, okay. So when I went to take my test, line was wrapped around the door. And I just felt like, you know, the most contact that I would have had with someone if I would have even exposed myself to COVID would have been in this line. Like, it literally was like, I would say 300 people back to back to back to back to back to back. And they are literally like, you wait in line and then you're like waiting to go in the building. Then they scan your little barcode. And then like, you literally go into like this area where it's maybe about six people and they just call you up. And mind you, you can watch everybody getting called up and they just like scan your number. And, they, you know, stick it up your nose and then that's it. The 30 minutes you got your results. Now I was just like, now, you know, I was saying to myself when I'm in line, because how fast they do this. And I know in the States, at one point in time, it was so hard to get COVID tests. And mind you, it costs 30 euros to get this done. I'm like, how many positive results are y'all getting a day? Because it just seemed like, you know, it's given very much pay the 30 euros, you'll get a negative result. That's just the vibes that I was getting. And another thing that frustrated me, okay, was I paid $70 for my COVID test to go. And I had to get this paper. And then, you know, when I checked into the airport, you know, they asked for like my vaccination cards and my passport and all stuff. And I'm like, oh, you want to see this $70 form? Like, they weren't even really checking for it. And so then when I was leaving Iceland and you had to go through like Iceland customs to get to your gate, when I got my negative results, it came with a little barcode skew. And you know, they kept asking me to show it. I'm like, listen, for my 30 euros, somebody gonna scan this barcode. I know that. And nobody scanned it. And I just was like, and I kept telling myself, I wonder if I did not get this test, right? And I just showed them my negative papers from when I came back or when I went. I was just curious to see, like, is y'all really checking? That's just kind of like, you know, what I was thinking. But it was an amazing experience, nevertheless, even though nobody scanned my 30 euro barcode. Okay, I'm a little hot about that because listen, 30 euros is 30 euros. But it was still such an amazing time. Got back to Philly. You know me, I came back to a clean house. Before I could do anything, I had to unpack my bags. I don't know if any of y'all like that. Anytime I come back from a trip, I got to unpack the bag before I do anything. And then baby boy laid out. And when I say laid out, I laid out. Saturday and Sunday, I had my phone on do not disturb. Okay. But over the weekend or like, you know, the last couple of days, it was National Puppy Day. And I saw all the people posting their puppies and their dogs and National Dog Day. And chow, Barb then posted a photo of Sunshine. Now, I don't know if I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, Barb and John had to go to like a family event. So I went over to Delaware and I dog sit Sunshine for the day. And so just out the day, I was like sending my mom and John some photos, and I had me a little Smirnoff Ice towards the end of the day because, you know, baby boy likes to wet his whistle. And I had took a photo and I sent it to my mom and John. It was like, you know, Sunshine drinking. And so on National Puppy Day or Dog, I don't even know. Hold on, wait, let me just look real quick before I'm telling y'all National Puppy Day. Let me actually tell you what it actually was. National Dog Day. Barb posted this photo of Sunshine to her Facebook with the photo that I sent her. And I didn't even notice it. But when I was like scrolling through my phone at the airport, I saw the photo and I was like reading the comments, and the comments were sending me. So many people was like, Sunshine drinking? ? Is that a peach Smirnoff Sunshine has? It's Sunshine 21. It's the Smirnoff for me. And then Summer Downs Burma said, is Sunshine wetting her whistle? Okay, it's every one of the comments. My mom was writing back. Bryce was dog sitting that day. Okay, first of all, Barb, don't be trying to throw me under the bus like I'm giving alcohol to the Sunshines. But yes, shout out to everybody that posted their photos of their dog on National Dog Day. But anyway, baby boy is back from his vacation. Even though, listen, I need another vacation. I need a vacation from the vacation from the vacation. But let me give you the rundown of this week. We've got the church announcements and on the menu, okay, the new legacy. Listen, I finally decided to unblock Chappelle and we watched Space Jam, The New Legacy. Let's just be clear, because Chappelle was cussing me out when I was saying Space Jam 2. He said, Bryce, it's not Space Jam 2. It's Space Jam, The New Legacy. So be clear, y'all, because if you don't want to get cussed out by Chappelle, so we review Space Jam, The New Legacy. We talk about, you know, we compare and contrast the old ones. You know me, if I see some systemic things in there, I'm gonna call it out. And we kind of sort of relate it to real life. So it is a great, okay, recap that you definitely don't want to miss. We've also got Miss Barb on the menu this week. And of course, you know, it's Freak of the Week. So listen, I'm back from vacation. It's time to start a new legacy. Let's start these church announcements. And on this week's church announcements, two things I just want to highlight this week for the posse. One, I am so honored and humbled that my alma mater, Temple University, reached out to me to do an interview just about the amazing work that I've done in the social service and entertainment industry post-graduation. So I was like so honored that my alma mater reached out to me. And I don't know, on a personal level, like, you know, I went to Temple University and I feel like, you know, I've done my own thing, but I've never really felt like, you know, any acknowledgement or any, not even that maybe I'm even deserving of it. So it was so humble that they reached out to me and wanted to do an article on me. Okay, they had baby boy come on campus for a little photo shoot. And so I just was literally like tears came to my eyes, because it really was just something that for a long time, I never thought that I would even ever get recognition from my university, and to have them reach out to me was amazing. And Word on the Block is a Purple Pants posse member by the name of Brandon Nelson might have had a hand in making sure that they knew who your baby boy was. But listen, if you have not already, please check that article out. You can click the link in my Instagram bio or my Twitter bio, or I've posted it to Twitter or to Facebook. So make sure you check that out. It's really humbling for me. And listen, like I say in my post, is that you never know who was watching your journey, and you never know the paths that you may be paving. So listen, continue to live in your truth, okay? It's a new legacy. The next church announcement, I want to make sure that this Tuesday we is ready for HGTV, okay? August 31st, House Hunters. My Kagiyan sister, Jatia Hart Taylor, and her family will be there looking for her new Chicago home. So make sure you guys set your DVR. August 31st, House Hunters, and show my girl Jatia some love. Listen, I might even go live, okay? I might watch it live on Instagram or something, because I want to be screaming for my girl Jatia. Yes, so those are the church announcements for this week.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now let's get into this menu.
It's a menu. It's a menu. Meat and potatoes, like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a menu. It's a menu. Meat and potatoes, like we're cooking up a great stew.
And we are back. It's been a mighty long time since I done had this person on my podcast, okay? You know, when people get that glow up, okay? They act like they don't know you. Okay, they change their number. They shadow ban you on the Instagram. They constantly troll you on the Twitter.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. You're getting too carried away. You're getting too carried away.
I had three more.
That's enough. We good. We good. Bryce, how you doing?
I'm good. Well, first of all, welcome Chappelle back to the potty cast. I'm so happy.
To the posse cast.
Come on.
Okay. We like a posse cast. Okay.
The posse cast. Okay. If you guys remember, because it's been such a long, long time.
It's been a few days.
Since the Chappelle and I have covered a black cinema classic.
Mm-hmm. It's been a few weeks. It's been a few weeks, Bryce.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. But it's okay. We back now.
We back. I mean, we back. Back and again. Okay.
Hey.
I'm, you know. And so we figured, like, why not kick it off with Space Jam 2.
Yeah. And for the record, you know, we're not saying this is a black cinema classic, but but this is new. It's popping right now. We got to talk about it. Me and Bryce were both around when Space Jam 1 was popping. So we got to talk about Space
clarifications.
Jam 2.
Clarifications. Chappelle was like in high school.
Oh my God. I was not in high school.
I was just starting pre-K.
Okay. Sure. Spicy. I think this is a good start. We can start with something fresh, maybe, and then, you know, get back into our classic cinema status. What do you think?
Eight months later after this, because you know, Chappelle booked it busy. But you booked it busy.
You booked and busy too, and I'm very proud of you, Bryce. It was an amazing episode. I had to call in a couple weeks ago to talk about your Monumentous episode, Bryce. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. First of all, great pivot, and I appreciate that so much. And since we're even talking about that, I think that seriously talking, I think your message really spoke to me in the sense of just the kind words that you said. I really appreciated it. And, you know, some of the things that you said, saying that you wouldn't have even like thought of podcasting if it were not for me. And that really hit home for me, Chappelle, because I don't look at myself. I feel like even with like the Simone Biles situation and, you know, how she, you know, the whole Olympics thing that's going on and how, you know, she says she greatly appreciated the outpour and she felt like she never really was a world class gymnast until now. And so I'm nowhere near Simone Biles, but I can do a mean cartwheel. It's a little rusty. Back in the day, I could do one hand. At this point, I probably could do two shoulders.
All right.
But I appreciated that because I don't look at myself like a podcaster. And at times, I don't look at myself as someone that is leading the charge, per se. But, I appreciated that and I really took that to heart. So I greatly appreciate that. And I don't know if I ever, you know, I just want to go on air and say that I appreciated that because you tweet to the people. I don't answer your calls. I don't do this and I don't do that. I just wanted the people to hear that. Cause I appreciated that. And I, first of all, you know, I love black people supporting black people. And I love the fact that, you know, I can help support other black people that look, sound, talk and like me and get the same things that I get. And I love the fact that when we get to podcast, because I'm always authentically myself, but I often feel like, you know, with what's understood, does it need to be explained? And so I really do appreciate it.
No, Bryce, thank you so much. And I, you know, I love it when you sing my praises. So I almost didn't want to stop you. But, you know, Bryce, one of the things that I want you to understand and all the listeners, too, is that the reason why I say the things I say about you, the positive things is that people often struggle with imposter syndrome, whether it's black people, white people, you know, women, men, whoever you are, you're struggling with imposter syndrome is very common. But normally imposter syndrome is a product of you not seeing people who look like you in a space that you want to be in or that you're in. Right. So you feel like an imposter because you can't see yourself in that role. That's probably because you haven't seen anybody else like you in that role, right?
Right.
And so for me as a podcaster, I've never felt imposter syndrome. And that's largely due to you, Bryce, because I knew that like, oh, OK, Rob would be OK with me podcasting with him because he's OK with Bryce talking about the same things that I would want to talk about. And so that gave me the confidence to say, OK, yeah, if I want to get on this podcast and talk about how black this episode of Big Brother is, Rob's going to be OK with it, because if he's not OK with that, he definitely wouldn't be OK with Bryce. And so you get to pave the way for people like me who look at you as kind of like their avatar in this world. And yeah, any chance I get to sing your praises, Bryce, I'm going to do it. And so I was just very happy to be a part of your big episode.
I appreciate that. And just make sure it's a young, cute avatar.
Young? Question mark?
Keep it cute.
Okay.
But I appreciate that. And even in the realm of Space Jam, I just have to say, the NBA draft was, a couple of days ago, and I'm excited for the NBA.
So you a basketball fan now?
I've been a basketball fan.
When you become a basketball fan, because
you ain't never seen me talk about the Charlotte Hornets.
I mean, you excited right now, but it is not because of basketball. You watch the draft way too closely. You got too many favorite players in this new class, Bryce. I don't know how I feel about that. What's making you root for the Pistons now, Bryce?
I've always been a huge supporter of Detroit.
I bet you are. I'm gonna call you out every time and be like, Bryce, what's the score of the game? You'll be like, I don't know.
Mind you, I would say this, because when I started talking about the Charlotte Hornets, Wendell and my friend Joey did very similar things to me. But listen, I knew all of the stats of LaMelo Ball. I knew how many rebounds. I knew how many assists. I knew how many games he played. When he was out, I was very worried about Rookie of the Year. So, listen, I'm not calling Rookie of the Year just yet, but I am definitely a fan of the Pistons, the Detroit Pistons, okay?
Yeah, well, if y'all are listening to this, make sure y'all go check out Bryce's story, because he's going to be posting about the Pistons a lot this season, I can already tell.
Listen, mind you, first of all, I recorded a draft and I only got like halfway through. So I'm looking to pick up like two or three more teams favorites to my the purple world.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the loony world, the purple world.
The purple world. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll keep up with that. Maybe we will do the weekly sports update with Bryce.
Listen. Maybe. Okay. The purple pants. I don't know what pants.
I don't know either. We'll figure it out. We'll workshop it.
Purple man's prep. I don't know, but who knows? I'm excited for Space Jam. It's funny because watching this Space Jam, and maybe I am getting a little older, I couldn't really remember the premise of the first space. I know the premise of the first Space Jam, but I couldn't like think of what the original Space Jam was. All that I knew about this new Space Jam was I kept seeing people our age being like, this is trash. The original was better. Just like, first of all, sir, you're 45 years old. Okay.
You're 36. Right. No, yeah, I'm exactly.
I'm talking about, listen, this podcast will be over real quick. I'm nowhere near 45, but I'm talking to the people like, cause you know me, I am a commentator. I live for the comments. Mm-hmm. And I'm like seeing these people say how it's trash. The acting is horrible. It's the worst story. And I'm like, sir, you're 45. It's meant for your 5-year-old son.
Let it go. Let it go. You have a decent job. You have a wife and kids. Right. You got a 401k. You got a retirement set up. You got pension coming, and you worried about Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Right. Yeah. You got 3 weeks vacation and a week of sick. And you worried about the acting in Space Jam.
Bills coming up. You know, it's the first of the month. It's creeping up on you, and you watching Space Jam complaining. Right. Okay.
You trying to refinance your house to build an addition.
Listen, sometimes you need that extra space, but you can't focus on that if you're worried about Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Right.
Slow your roll, sir. Slow your roll.
But I will have to say, my overall view of Space Jam 2, The New Legacy, I thought thought it was amazing.
You know what, Bryce? I have to stop you right here, okay? Let's just get into something real quick. Okay. Black folk, we just name stuff what we want to name it. This movie is called Space Jam, A New Legacy. This is not Space Jam 2. But, you know, when we started the podcast, I was like, we talking about Space Jam 2 today. I have to check myself on that, because sometimes we just make things what we want them to be. I call these people by their character names for no matter what episode, you know, what show they from. I couldn't get through this without talking about Sasha from The Walking Dead being his wife. You know, like, so we just got to remove ourselves from that. You know, let's release ourselves from naming our own.
Well, first of all, Don Cheadle, okay? I could not. First of all, I was like, Don, first of all, wait, what was Don Cheadle's name? It was,
Algae Rhythm?
Algae. First of all, I was Don.
Algae.
I was laughing at all of the corny jokes. I'm right. Like, what are these people talking about?
Yeah. This is good. I don't have no issue with it.
I have no issue with it. Now, mind you, I have to go back and rewatch Space Jam 1. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was the old legacy, but I'll go as far as saying,
Don't get carried away, Bryson.
The new legacy might be better.
I mean, I think that might be a thought project for us. Maybe after watching this and talking through it, we could go back and watch Space Jam 1, and then we can compare it and see, you know, like, what are the differences? Who's the better actor? You know, like, we can really get into this if you want to, but I'm not willing to make that call right now just because I haven't seen the first one in a while. But I'd argue that it's probably debatable, at least at this point.
Right. At least I would say it's on the same level. It's mm-hmm. definitely not worse, like a lot of people are saying. And I also feel like people have and again, one thing I love about our reviews, whenever we do them at this point is once a year, but whenever we do the reviews, I think that, you know, we always start off by saying, this is what I remember about the movie. And then by the time we get to the end, we're like, well, damn it. It was a whole nother thing. And I really think people are stuck on what they remember of.
Right. And Space Jam, the first Space Jam, I won't say Space Jam 1, but Space Jam came out in, what, 1996, right? So that would have been like, what, your senior year in high school?
I was born in 1993, okay? Okay, whatever.
But what do you really remember from 96, you know?
I remember in 96, my mom would wake me up on Sundays to go to church.
Right. So it's like if our memories from, what, 20 some odd years ago, you know, if we got to rely on that, then maybe it's not the movie we remember it to be. And so I'd be very excited to jump back into that and kind of see, you know, what we thought about it back then and what we think about it now.
Right. And another thing, I thought the movie was very easy to follow. I didn't think it was very self-explanatory. It's a, I don't know, is it a Disney movie or who produces this?
Bryce, see that's when you know you missed the entire point of the movie, because this movie is a Warner Brothers film.
A Warner Brothers, WB.
Yes, and they never let you forget it, because every scene, and I really want to talk about this, every scene has some type of product placement from Warner Brothers. It's like a big old advertisement for Warner Brothers. It goes from the Looney Tunes to Game of Thrones. It goes to King Kong. Like, everything that they've ever touched is in this movie. Batman, Harry Potter, Casablanca, The Matrix. It's just like, bro, are y'all trying to force us to remember that Warner Brothers is a company? Scooby-Doo is in this movie. The Gremlins, the Flintstones.
I was screaming at the Gremlins. First of all, I didn't know that Game of Thrones was a Warner Brothers production or The mm-hmm. Matrix.
Oh, yeah. They lean right into that. They're like, no. Let us show you all the things that we want to market. Like, this was incredible. I don't think I've ever seen something like this shameless since maybe like Wreck-It Ralph. You know, where they had all like the little games, the you know, toys and stuff like that. Maybe that's a good example. Maybe the Lego movie is another one where it's just product placement everywhere. The Emoji movie is a good one. Oh. But this was just chock full of, you know, like, come watch this other movie that we got. Come, remember we got this movie?
You,
remember this show?
You want to see my work.
Exactly. It's everywhere.
And did I read somewhere that there's like a reboot of the Gremlins?
Do we need to talk about the Gremlins? Is it black? No,
I bet there definitely was some black gremlins. So.
Right. Is the new Gremlins black? Because if there's a reboot of the Gremlins and it's black folk in it, I think we could force it. You know, we can make it happen.
The female gremlin definitely was wearing lashes and lace fronts before every woman I know was wearing them. So
pave the way.
I'm just saying, okay? There was no imposter syndrome there.
Yeah, no, I think it was like, I think the actual Gremlins is the Walt Disney, but this was like, what was it like? Those little, dang it, what were those little monsters called? I can't even remember. But yeah, I saw them, and hopefully it's some black folk in there. Maybe we could throw it on our movie watch list, you know?
Right. I'm sure there was a producer,
somebody.
Somebody.
We'll make a way.
You know, yeah. But
they can't come to the cookout, but we'll bring them a plate.
Okay. Right. It would be no raisins in that potato salad. Okay. Just speaking of that randomly, have you ever had a raisin potato salad?
No. What? First of all, I do not eat at potlucks, period. Okay. If it's a work function and they say it's a potluck, I'm either not coming that day or I'm just going to bow out gracefully. Like, oh no, y'all handle it. I have dietary restrictions because let me tell you a quick story. This one time I was, we were at a potluck and someone had made like a casserole or something like that. Cause you know, people love to make casseroles for potlucks and people started to eat it. I think it was like chicken spaghetti or like a baked pasta or something.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Right. And so they're like, oh yeah, the side with the like the raisins on it wasn't that bad. Oh. People were like, raisins? There wasn't no raisins on the chicken spaghetti. And then they got to the person who made it and was like, no, the side with the like, it had like, some one side has raisins on it or something, but they weren't that bad. And so the person who made it was like, what are you talking about? I didn't put any raisins on it. Why was it ants? Why was it ants in the chicken baked into the chicken?
It's extra protein.
Oh my gosh. To this day, I will never.
Now, I also had a similar experience at a potluck where somebody made a baked taco spaghetti.
Okay.
And it was bomb. Okay. I was like, oh,
right.
I was like, after I found out who made it, I was like, I probably wouldn't have ate it, but it actually was good. And I will say a potluck also turned me on to quiche.
Oh, see, and I'm a big quiche fan. Okay. But I love me some quiche.
Does your family make a quiche?
No, black people don't make like quiche.
It's either scramble, sunny side up.
Like an omelet, maybe.
Or if you fancy, they cut out the toast and put it in there. We just never have done a quiche. And I remember I was like at one of my first jobs and like my boss who I didn't like, she made a quiche. And I was like, what is this? But it was bomb.
Right. And before you start getting all the emails, I know some black people do make quiche and I am one to make a quiche now that I like it. But, you know, I definitely wasn't growing up in no household where my mom was like, come on in the kitchen, Brandon, I made some quiche. Like, no, you better eat these Pop-Tarts and sit down somewhere.
Okay. So
that's just not the life I came from. But, you know, for all the people who do make quiche and who live that life, congratulations. You know,
we didn't have Pop-Tarts. We had Tarte Pops. They was like the generic brand.
Yeah.
And they were always crumble.
Have you ever had a toasted strudel? Because I asked my mom about one time and she told me that was for white people.
So listen, I have again. It was a strudel toastal.
Okay,
and this was like the thing in my house. Though my one brother would steal all of the icing packets.
Okay, that what was he doing with them?
I mean, he would literally put them all on them, and like mind you know, it would come with like six toasted strudels, but only like four icing packets. But a toasted strudel, whoo. When if it's it got to be freshly out the toaster or the, I want to say easy bake oven, the,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The little oven that's the, whatever.
The toaster oven.
Toaster oven.
Yeah.
It got to be freshly out. And then you got to put the icing on top of the toaster oven for 10 seconds while it's on there.
See, I just never had that privilege in life, Bryce. I thought that was for rich people. I used to see white people on the commercial and be like, man, one day. And then I just go back to eating my Pop-Tarts. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, first of all, I had toaster strudel as an adult. And we got Pop-Tarts if we were lucky. What we had was the oatmeal packets.
Okay, yes. Open one of them bad boys. Pour you some water or some milk in there, depending on what you like. Stir it up. Maybe put some butter in there. You know, and put
sugar,
it in the put it in the microwave. You know, sprinkle some sugar on it. Maybe some cinnamon if you feeling fancy.
Oh,
hopefully it ain't got the little apples chopped up in it already. I don't like that. I don't like freeze dried fruit. You know what I'm saying? Like the apple cinnamon ones. I'll eat it, but
the apple cinnamon low key was my favorite ones. And the Special K with the fruit, fruit dried fruit in it is the best guy with the strawberries and the blueberries.
It just made me uncomfortable. I'll eat it. It tastes good, but I'm like, how does this fruit work like this? You just put it in a little packet like this? It just never sat right with me.
Not sat right.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, I ain't like the way it looked, but I still ate it because, you know, boys was hungry.
No, for sure. And that was breakfast every day. The only time we got a warm breakfast was when on Sundays, you know, my mom would cook before church. Mm-hmm. But like, listen, the bacon is not going to make me want to sit through 8 hours of church, Barb. But
yeah, when my mama stopped going to church, I was like, oh, thank God, I don't got to get up early no more. I ain't got it. But then I realized she's not cooking. So,
right.
Like, do we need to go to church? I was like, you need Jesus, because without him, you don't do a damn thing. No. And she going to listen to this too and be like, what? And I'm, yes, ma'am. You know you ain't going to church. Whatever. Well, that's an argument for later time.
Oh, not a bad
I miss Jackie.
Yes, yeah.
Hey, Miss Jackie.
She just celebrated a birthday not that long ago.
Look at you. Okay.
Come on, I be knowing. Hey, Miss Jackie.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully she don't whoop my ass for telling the Lord she didn't go to church. We'll see.
Whoop it. Whoop it real good. Anyway, this ain't about what Miss Jackie and Barb would do or would not do for breakfast. Okay. Yeah, the last thing is, why we always got 2% milk? What type of milk did y'all get?
See, my mama, she like one of them like a fake bougie. So everything for her had to be name brand, even if we couldn't really just afford it. So she was like, it had to be whole milk. Cause in her mind, 2% milk was like ghetto milk. And then like she had to have Aunt Jemima, rest in peace, Aunt Jemima. She had to have Aunt Jemima syrup. She had to have Heinz ketchup. But that's why we ain't never had no food in the house, cause she was spending all our damn money on these brands. I'm brand struck now. I buy so many Jordans. I don't know what else to do with myself. And I blame her. I blame her now.
I don't know if, we were like a half name brand. Like, I feel like for certain staples, Barb would do name brands, but other stuff would, it could be whatever. But for me and my household, my house of two, me and Kimmy, I live for an Up and Up brand. If, listen, if Up and Up don't make it, I don't want it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the same way. I will find the off brand of whatever exist in the world. Like, if it, and I will taste it. And then if it's close enough to what I'm used to, oh yeah, that's it. I think the only thing that I haven't skimped on yet is ketchup. I still need my Heinz or my Whataburger fancy ketchup if I'm feeling like, you know, bougie for the week. You know what I'm saying?
I do the dollar store ketchup. Okay.
Ain't no shame in my game.
Now this is my last question. Then we back to Space Jam New Legacy. You put your ketchup in the refrigerator or out?
I know what the label says. But I just, my ketchup don't, I just don't need it cold, man. I don't want to put cold food on, cold condiments on hot food. I don't care. Come at me. I don't know. I know it's nasty. It needs to be in the refrigerator. And I'm never going to complain if somebody else does it. Like, I don't walk in the house like, ooh, they got that cold ketchup. But like you said, that's for me in my house.
Okay.
We serve a warm ketchup guy.
Okay. So. And then last question. How many times in your life have you forgot to shake it up and you get 7 ounces of water?
That ketchup, pre-ketchup.
the ketchup.
The pre-ketchup, you know what I'm talking
first
about?
First of all, this is my question, and I'm about to cut. Where does that water come from?
It's like it separates because it just be sitting in there, you know?
Okay, but listen, I dumped it out the first time I put it on my hamburger. So why 2 weeks later, okay, I don't need to shake it up because I got all the ketchup juice out.
Sometimes ketchup just get excited and it comes out faster than you would think, you know, just that pre-ketchup.
This give me too much of Chappelle personal life.
we could talk about Space Jam now.
Yes.
So Bryce, this is Space Jam, A New Legacy, right? Like, so not officially not Space Jam 2. Yeah. But it came out, of course, this year for all the people who are, you know, not familiar. And it's supposed to be like a remake of our classic Space Jam film with Michael Jordan that came
Your
out.
Your classic.
And, yeah. From Bryce's, you know, late teens. starring Michael Jordan. So this is the LeBron James reboot, if you will. Michael Jordan being the, you know, most famous basketball player at that time in 1996. You know, then LeBron James arguably being the greatest basketball player right now. And so, and that is up for debate. Don't come for me, but that's the premise, right? We took the old, Space Jam model of taking the best basketball player that we could find and, you know, swapped in LeBron James in 2021. And I think they've been talking about this for a while. Like, it's been rumored. I don't know how long it actually had been in production to where they were actually trying to make it happen. But I think when you have somebody like LeBron James, naturally people were like, okay, if this is the second coming of Michael Jordan, then we want to do similar things to Michael Jordan, you know, back then. And so that's how we end up with this movie. I think I've seen LeBron James talk about the movie has made over like $190 million already. And so, yeah.
And it hasn't even hit the movie theaters yet. It's still on HBO Max for like another week. Then it's going to theaters.
Exactly. So this is still streaming. But yeah, we definitely have this big epic movie on our hands that is, you know, largely for children. This is a children's movie with a grown man as the main character. And I think that's why people get confused. They're like, I'm older, thus I want the movie to cater to me, when, you know, Space Jam is for kids. And that's what this is in front of us.
So, yeah.
So Bryce, hold on. What did you think about, like, overall? Like, so when you were watching it, you said you liked it. You thought it was better. It was easy to follow. So did you laugh a lot during the movie?
I did. Like, I wasn't. But I wasn't.
Yeah, I had a few chuckles too, and I was under the influence. I had been drinking some wine, enjoying some wine.
Did you go live?
I didn't. I don't do that when I'm watching.
Was it 3 in the morning?
Bryce.
Okay.
Okay. Right, sorry, you in my business.
Sorry. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah. So you want to get into the plot of the movie, Bryce?
So yes, yes and no. What I also want to say is what I couldn't get over was the flawlessness of LeBron James's man weave. Can we talk about it?
Did you see the clip?
First of all, I saw several of the clips. And mind you, not to like hair shame LeBron, because, you know, men go through, you know, the cycle of hair. And I love the evolution of where we are with the man weaves. And if anyone who does not know what a man weave is that, you know, women wear lace fronts, and now it's not a new coming of time, because if anybody knows who Steve Harvey is, okay, Steve Harvey was wearing the man weaves, okay, for 20 years.
Back in the day, he been bald for a long time.
Okay. So I really enjoyed his man weave, because I'm just like, you know, at times his hairline looks struggle-esque, and then, you know, but for the movie, they said, we're going to get it together. And sometimes it was a little lumpy in the front, but, you know, I felt like it might have been a whole day of production and filming. But
yeah, I seen them spraying that Beijing on the edges, you know, that color. I seen them spraying that color on Twitter. If y'all get on Twitter and look, there's some clips of them trying to fill in the blank spots for LeBron. And, you know, whatever. What TLC say, you can buy your hair if it won't grow. We've been talking about this for years. You do what makes you happy, you know?
I was saying, so I creep. But
that's Bryce at 3 in the morning off the line.
That is true. Yes. Gosh. So the premise of the movie is that, you know, Michael Jordan, it looks as if he comes from a single mother home.
LeBron.
Oh, I said LeBron Jordan.
LeBron James. You know who?
Bron. Yeah. First of all, I was dying when Bugs Bunny called him Bron. But
it's real.
So LeBron James, we see him as a young child. He had a Game Boy, very, very much brought back the Game Boy that I had that I never got to play, because I had three older brothers that, you know, had it. And, you know, I got it when nobody else wanted to play it. And by that time, it just ain't work. But you know, brought me back to my Tetris days. And he grows up to be LeBron James, which I thought was really amazing. One critique that I would have loved for Warner Brothers, Disney, The Matrix, whoever owned them, HBO, I would have loved it if Savannah James was in it. I would have loved it if Bryce was in it. I would have loved it if Brawny, I would have loved it if they actually used his real kids.
Yeah, and this might be him protecting his family. LeBron is all...
He ain't. Listen, you can't protect your family if you're doing top. Go to
Tuesday.
Got Drake pulling up to your son's game. I'm taking the player.
Maybe he don't want them acting in the Hollywood limelight like that. Because, you know, look how hard people are on about his acting in this movie. You know, imagine what they would say about his wife and kids. And to be fair, in the first Space Jam, Michael Jordan's real family wasn't utilized in there.
Okay, this is a new era. This is a new legacy, right?
New legacy.
Okay, and I feel like for other people, other movie stars that aren't so melanated, they always put their kids in it. They always get their kids an extra star, even though LeBron don't, because his kids are going to be amazing. But I'm just saying, for me, being as though they were basing it solely and really off of some, loosely based off of LeBron James's career, I just would have loved if it, like, maybe not the kids. I would take Savannah.
Okay. Yeah, and for me, I'm more like in the camp of if we have an actor, let's use an actor because ultimately it's a movie, right? And so we don't want people tearing this apart. We need it to make money. And so if it's like LeBron James and his family, people might get turned off like, oh, this is nepotism or something like that. Like, so you want to make sure LeBron is still the center of it, but you want to surround him by people who can help carry the movie for him. So I agree with you that it would be nice to see his whole family in there, but I could see why they wouldn't have done it as well.
Yeah. So, you know, he is a father. I think he has three kids. And you know, with us, when we review these movies, there are some systemic things that we love to talk about. And there were some very good notes that I took on some aspects of this that maybe, and you can let me know if I'm reaching what I felt like. But if there was a father, LeBron Jordan for the podcast purposes, and he is pushing his two sons into basketball. His one son is not interested in basketball. His one son is really interested in video games and like creating and different things of that nature. And so LeBron is at a pivotal moment in disputing with his son. He plays his son's game that he's been working on. And the dad's like, you know, you could do special powers. You could do special moves. And the dad's like, LeBron's like, this is not basketball. And the son's like, well, this is my game. Like, I put a twist on it. And so as the dad is like playing the game glitches. And so the son is very upset. And for me, another like hee hee ha ha moment in my mind is that like, okay, most gamers and people that create apps takes them years. The son game glitches and he's like, oh, it's going to take me a whole week. Bitch, a whole week.
His son is a prodigy. It seems right. Like his son has created a very cool game for someone his age. I mean, I think he's, what, 14
his age
at the time?
For somebody, period.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and this game is basically a basketball simulation with superpowers. And he spends all his time on it. In a week, he's supposed to be going to the, like, E3, I believe it is, like, gaming convention. So he's all into creating games and coding and all of that. But he's really, really good, apparently, because for you to create a game like this and then be able to fix it in a week, that's super impressive. But you know what? LeBron James is super impressive at basketball. So maybe this is just like his son's superpower. I don't know.
Right. And so then there is the algorithm, Algie, a.k.a. Ooh, shout out. I was about to say Al Sharpton. Oh, Jesus. Oh,
slow it down, Bryce.
Ooh, I am like Miss Jackie. I am backslide. Okay.
Yeah. No, this is Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle
is played by Don Cheadle. Yeah. And Don Cheadle is inside of basically a Warner Brothers computer. And it seems like his goal is that he just wants to be noticed. He wants people to give him recognition. So he's come up with this pitch inside the computer. The Warner Brothers is taking LeBron into their studio to say, hey, we got this pitch for you. Check it out. And what Algie Rhythm is proposing is that LeBron James basically puts his likeness into all the other Warner Brothers projects. So we'll look up and LeBron James will be in Harry Potter and he'll be a Hufflepuff. Or we'll look up and LeBron James is, you know, in The Matrix or something of that nature. And it sounds actually not a bad idea if you want to get basketball fans to watch other Warner Brothers products. But LeBron thinks this is the dumbest thing that he's ever heard in his life. He says it and the computer overhears him. And at that point, I think he's evil.
Yes. Now, one of the things that I thought of when I thought of Don Cheadle, I'm not telling you if you thought this was a stretch, but I was getting QAnon vibes. Like, you know, just in what I thought was a play on real life is, I don't know if you've seen that documentary, and I don't know if it's on Hulu, Netflix, or I know it's on Netflix, how we could literally be on this podcast and we say socks, and all of a sudden you on Instagram and all you see are like sock ads. And just how like the algorithms of the phone of how and what you like starts to pop up on your phone and how you kind of go down this algorithm that really only caters to you, which is how we got people invading the Capitol. But we ain't going to talk about that. But I'm just saying, like, I thought although it was very comical how they did it and the fact that Al Sharpton, Don Cheadle was the villain. You know, but in real context, like, you know, a lot of the time, like, the algorithms are meant for good, but in the wrong hands can be very dangerous. So that was definitely a just real life trend that I was like, this is like, I like where they're going with this.
Yeah, there's a point where Algorithm, you know, he basically goes to LeBron's son at some point and he's talking to him, trying to win him over. And he says all the things that he wants to hear, like, oh, you're a brilliant game designer and you've been putting a lot of work into this game and you don't really, you know, you know, you feel this way about your dad not really supporting you as a gamer. He wants you to play basketball. And LeBron's son, Dominic, literally says, how do you know all of this about me?
Right.
And Algorithm says, oh, I mean, the computers could hear you. The phone can hear you. I have the whole room tapped.
Right.
It's kind of like, oh, okay, he's an evil computer. So you would think he has that kind of technology. But like you said, Bryce, that's a real thing that's happening right now. You know, I text Jacob Jones. I think he's a former Freak of the Week from way back when.
Who?
Jacob Jones. He's Jacob Jones from the class of 2020 and his stint on Sequester. But he, I texted him today. Ooh. Because the other day we were talking. Disrespect Jacob Jones. He's gonna come at me all sideways. But I texted him earlier because he and I were talking about. He always knows like the products you use on like your face and your hair and stuff like that.
Have you seen his morning routine when he took over RHAP?
Yeah, exactly. So I asked Jacob about like the stuff he was using on his face. Maybe like a week ago, it was a Zoom call, and then today, I kid you not. I get all the ads about eye cream and I text Jacob Jones like, is this weird? And he's like, yeah, but you need to go ahead and purchase them anyway because you got bags in the ass.
I mean, or was that your phone just telling you that your face dirty and you need to wash it?
Probably both, right? So
Algorithm was helping you.
He strikes again. So yeah, I think that is a running theme throughout the movie. It's just that, people are listening, you know, the computers are listening and they are just tracking, you know, what sites we like, what our demographics are and kind of what appeals to us. And I guess as somebody of a certain age, I probably could use some face cream.
Real quick though, because I just grabbed my iPhone. Hold on. Just want to test it out. Jalen Green. Stop it.
They going you Houston. Already going to get enough. You're going to get enough basketball updates as it is. Don't worry. But another theme that I noticed throughout this movie was at the very beginning when you have LeBron, you know, we saw young LeBron and he is LeBron James. So he is, I think at this point, a freshman or going into like a freshman year in high school. And his coach tells him like, hey, you got to put down that Game Boy and focus on what's important, which is basketball, because you got to take care of your family. You got to change your life. Right. And now LeBron is basically feeding that to his kids. Like, no, basketball is what's important for you. I think we'd be irresponsible to not point out that, that's a lot of pressure for a kid, right? To think that I have to be good at basketball or my life, you know, could possibly just not amount to anything. And that's in the movie how LeBron James felt. And I would be shocked if that he didn't have a lot of that weight on his shoulders, too, while he was growing up playing basketball in real life. And so we see him kind of perpetuate that idea to his son, like, no, basketball was everything for me and you have to give it your all. And these video games are distractions and you will never amount to the basketball player that you should be if you're not able to put those childish things aside. You don't get to be like other kids. You have to be LeBron James. And we see that throughout the movie as well.
I completely agree. And I also felt like it also touched on, and I don't know if like Miss Jackie was similar to Miss Barb, but like our era of growing up, we had like the computer. And they weren't used to that. And they're like, get in those books, study, read. And it's like, our generation is younger. We are, the way that we learn, the way that we grow are different. And a lot of the times it is up to the parents to adapt and adjust to the ways of how your children learn. And I thought that was like really, really good essence in the movie as well. But I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's a good point. Even like with this podcasting thing, my family knows I podcast. They couldn't tell you what it was. You know, like my dad to this day will be like, what are you be in there talking about? You know, like,
what you be in there talking about.
And he very much talking about like in the phone, you know,
in
like,
the phone. Yes. No.
Right.
No.
Now, yeah, he's not like, what are you in your house talking about? He's like, why are you in that box? You know, like people watching you on YouTube, what that mean? You know, like why are they in the comments? And I have to explain it to him in words that he could understand. Like, you know, SportsCenter where people are like, you watch people talk about basketball. I was like, that's what people are doing. I'm just not talking about basketball, at least, you know, not until today. And so he's like, oh, okay. So it starts to make sense to him. But you're right. It's so far out of his realm of understanding. Just for his generation, it wasn't a reality. And so part of this movie is very much Dominic trying to get LeBron James to understand, like, no, this is something I'm interested in. And also, this is legitimate, you know, as a career and as a hobby as well. And he just, it just takes LeBron a little bit to get there.
Right. And again, for the generational gap, a lot of the times, like even for podcasting, like, you know, Miss Jackie or your dad, what you in there doing, they don't, they may not be able to see it as a viable career option. Mm-hmm. You know, just like gaming, people, even in the movie, like LeBron doesn't really see that as a, like, you know, bitch, you can make multi-millions off of this gaming. And again, it's a generational gap. And so I love the fact that those type of threads were in there, because me as a young adult in my early to late 20s, to early 30s to, you know, 35, it was something that I could definitely pick up on and see. And we see that Algie Rhythm really wants LeBron to endorse his game. And when LeBron says that he doesn't, he gets very upset. And so then there was a point where in the meeting, they touched on LeBron James's son's game. And they were like, oh, this is great. Also, shout out to Amy Silverman in there. Love her.
Sarah Silverman. Yes, I love it. Sarah Silverman from the Sarah Silverman Project, of course. You know,
I love, you know, Sarah.
And Steve Young from The Walking Dead.
Oh, yes. He was in there. And so when they say something about the game and LeBron's son is like, oh, yeah, that's great. And I don't know. And mind you, I might have been getting a juice or a snack. I don't know if they offered him a project or something that he said that he was going to be doing over the summer. And LeBron is like, you're not going to be doing that. You go in a basketball camp. And so this,
it's because a week from now, they're like, LeBron expects for him to be going to basketball camp, but he very much expects to be going to that gaming convention. You know, he wants to go to that E3 gaming camp. And so that's why he was so worried about getting his game made, because that's his primary motivation in this movie. LeBron's primary motivation is for him to go to basketball camp. So when it came up in conversation, Dominic didn't take it well that LeBron was not willing to, you know, let that go.
Yeah. And not at all. And so they are seen in the hallway. You know, the Warner Brothers got a camera, and Algie Rhythm hears the conversation and I guess uses this as his opportunity to essentially kidnap LeBron and his son. They get on the elevator and they get off at this floor that's not correct, and it looks super high tech. Now, if that was my mom, she would have slapped my hand, because we ain't going past nothing that say caution or, like, because listen, if you break it, you buy it. And listen, Bart, listen, we wasn't like Miss Jackie buying name brand products. So we ain't had a type of coin. So,
No. See, I would have got the other speech, though. When we get in here, don't touch nothing. Don't
say
nothing.
Will she pull your ear? Have you ever got the ear pull in the store?
Listen, she just starts talking to you through her gritted teeth. Don't you come in here and
say nothing.
Don't say nothing. So I would have been in that meeting. They'd have been, Chappelle, do you have any interest? Are you a gamer? And I'd be sitting there like, no, man.
What Barb would do was give you that look. Mm-hmm. She had to say nothing.
She'd just start answering for you. Like, no, he's fine. Right. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't want any water. Thank you.
So they get up in there and they get into like this game system. And, you know, the son knows it all. He's like, oh, we're in the mega board of the thing and the thing and the thing. And LeBron's like, what? And so Algie Rhythm traps them into the vortex, the purgatory.
The serververse is where they are. You know, they zap them into the computer like Freakazoid. And now LeBron is in there. Dominic's in there. And they get to meet Algie Rhythm, who is Don Cheadle, of course. But he is like, he's the master of the serververse.
Yes. And he proposes to them, like, you know, he introduces himself to them. And they're really wild, but he separates them. And, like, you know, we don't know where the son go. And, like, LeBron's still looking around. And then all of a sudden, Don Cheadle is basically saying to him, you want your son back? You're going to have to play for him. Like, LeBron's like, huh?
It's like love and basketball. Like, I need you to play me for your heart type of thing.
Right.
It's so silly. But, you know, I think the issue is that Algie Rhythm is tired of being ignored. So he's saying, look, you're going to play me because you're the biggest basketball player in the world right now. And if you play me on live stream for everybody to see, then they will know how great I am of an algorithm. And so that's his whole scheme. And he kind of reminded me of the genie from Aladdin, how he's like big and wacky sometimes, but then sometimes he's really scary, you know, and he's making jokes, but also you could tell he's very serious. So I don't know. Don Cheadle was kind of giving me Robin Williams vibes a little bit.
Very much so. But oh, Robin Williams would have been great for this role. Rest in peace. Another random thread that I picked up on the Don Cheadle character. And again, tell me if you believe, like, if I'm stretching it. But I really looked at Don Cheadle as at some aspects of this society. And here we have this black man with his black son. And I really looked at, like, Don Cheadle just like prisons. I looked at Don Cheadle as, like, the police. I looked at Don Cheadle as, like, systemic racism. And the fact that there are so many, like, as a black father in a household, is sometimes a rarity in black families. And, you know, there are so many obstacles, let alone computers, let alone whatever, a dad really kind of like relating to his son, because a lot of the times, you know, LeBron could have had like generational issues with his dad, and it kind of sort of like trickles down. And I looked at Don Cheadle, Algie Rhythm, as like, you know, generational trauma as well. And I really looked at that character as someone that is like all of those things, breaking up the black family and specifically the black father. I looked at Don Cheadle as Section 8 housing. You know, there's a period of time when during the crack epidemic, you know, when they put that end in, you know, they to separate the black families, they told the mothers, in order for you to get housing, you can't have a felon or a criminal living here. And that was just another way to kind of sort of break up the black family. And so, and me looking at it in that aspect, it was really endearing of me to watch as the movie goes on, to see like LeBron, like break all of those chains to really fight for his son. And I don't know, maybe I'm stretching it, but I really kind of like took to that avenue of kind of like placing all of those aspects of the society on Don Cheadle's character as Algie Rhythm.
Yeah. And what I would say is that I probably looked at it as more like shining a light on one of LeBron James's big issues that comes up several times throughout the film, is that he is a black father, but he's so laser focused on what his needs and wants are that he's almost not there for his son anyway, right? So even without Don Cheadle, you're looking at LeBron kind of funny, like, that's your son and you don't know what he's interested in. All you care about is basketball. Basketball is your life, but you have a wife and kids. And how much do you care about what they got going on? So if Don Cheadle is not already an obstacle in all the ways that you said he was, he's definitely shining a light on the fact that, yeah, LeBron, you are hyper-focused on doing stuff the way you want to do it. And that doesn't necessarily take into consideration what the needs and wants are of the people around you that you know, that you love. So I could see it in all those ways for sure.
Absolutely. And so LeBron is sent to Looney World, Looniverse,
Toon World.
Toon World.
Yeah, he's got to go to Toon World because he has to now get a team to help him play against Algie Rhythm's team, right? We don't know who Algie Rhythm's going to have on their team yet, but we do know that Algie Rhythm, since LeBron is in the serververse in Warner Brothers Studios, he sends him to where he thinks is an abandoned part of, you know, the world. And that's where he lands in Toon World. And when he gets there, we see that the population goes from 1 to 2. So we know that LeBron isn't the only one in Toon World. We quickly find out that, well, the greatest cartoon character of all time, Bugs Bunny, is there.
No disagreement here. And, you know, him and Bugs Bunny go through their ups and downs, and, you know, they really then start to figure out. LeBron is like, listen, bish, I'm here to get my son back. We need to build a team. Then now, of course, I'm going to butcher his name. Child, Marvin's Room Martian. OK.
Oh, Marvin the Martian. Yeah. Yes, Marv okay. pulls up.
He pull up. They commit a felony and steal his spaceship.
To be fair, Marvin the Martian was coming to conquer Earth. And so okay. he got turned around. So, you know, if you steal a spaceship of an alien who plans on conquering and making you all slaves, I mean, is that horrible?
I mean, I don't know, Chad. He was just giving me Jeff Bezos vibes, but I just, you know. So they go on a hunt to find other suitable basketball players. And, right. you know, we go and pick up. Now, I can't remember all of the people, but I know we pick up. Go ahead.
Well, let's get into it. No, let's get into it. So they get ready to go find his team, right? And Bugs Bunny it's very sad at this point because Bugs Bunny is the only person in Toon World because the Algae Rhythm showed up and told the Toons, like, y'all don't need to stay in Toon World. Y'all can go be a part of the entire WB serververse. Why don't you go to other shows and live there? And they did. They left. And Bugs Bunny was just like, why are y'all leaving? I thought we were Toons. But they were like, no, we want to go do other stuff. And so Bugs Bunny's like, let's go reclaim my family, you know, the other Toons. But they can also help us in a basketball game. And so they do end up going. LeBron thinks his starting team would be Superman, LeBron, King Kong, the Iron Giant, and Batman, I think. And that sounds like a cool team, but Bugs Bunny is more looking for, you know, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig. They go to DC World to get Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. They go to Mad Max Fury Road to get Coyote and the Roadrunner. Austin Powers pops up, so they go there to get Sylvester and Elmer Fudd.
So Austin Powers was a WB film?
Yes, I guess so. Rick and Morty show up with Tasmanian Devil. There's like 10 of them come from Game of Thrones. The Matrix was where Granny and Speedy Gonzalez come from. And then, last but not least, their secret weapon, the best baller of all the Toons, Lola Bunny, is on the mascara in Wonder Woman's world, trying to become an Amazon.
Yes.
But she puts her journey on pause to come help out the cause of saving LeBron James's son.
But she still becomes an Amazon because Superwoman said...
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman said you could do that. Now, I guess Wonder Woman was a WB production as well, too.
There you go.
So, yeah. And first of all, young Gabe Rice loved a Lola. Okay. I had... And I don't know if you used to get them with Happy Meals. Like they little like before the bobbleheads. Maybe it was like the figurines that could like stretch, that you could stretch around their arch.
Yeah, I remember those.
I had like four Lolas. But
Four Lolas. Yes. What do you need four of them? Yeah, like the Real Housewives of Lola Bunny.
Yes.
Mind the WB.
Yes. And I was very much so spicy bricey back then. I loved to take baths and I was really into trolls. I had a lot of trolls. And so
with the hair,
the blue, and some of them had like
a little jewel
and the jewel in their belly button. Okay. First of all, I would, y'all think I take long baths now. I would be in the bathtub, literally to the water would be ice cold. I would be doing Olympics. I would be like so much. But anyway, I just picture
you having like the Real Housewives reunion and you like got Lola Bunny talking to one of the trolls. Like, I said what I said. Okay. Close your legs to married men, troll.
The lies.
And then like love and hip hop. Is this who you lay with? Like,
do it like it's your B-Day. Do it like it's your B-Day.
No. Yeah, so Lola Bunny's iconic from the first Space Jam. You know, there was a lot of criticism about Lola Bunny when the trailer dropped because weird people were saying that Lola wasn't sexy enough.
Well, but that was also criticism about Lola back in the day that I remember that she was too sexy.
Mm-hmm. But it's a bunny, y'all.
First of all, y'all some real freak of the weeks. Like, okay.
Freak of the week.
I don't even want to pull up their algorithms, okay?
Right. But Lola Bunny is played by Zendaya, right?
Yes, I think. I believe so.
Yeah, I think so too. And so,
shout out to Zendaya. And also, when is my show coming back, Zendaya?
Oh, no, I can't watch it. Mm-mm, it's too much. It's too much. The kids start the kissing on each other and the having the sexes and the drugs. I can't do it, man.
When does Chappelle's dad come on the show?
Look, I'm a teacher. Euphoria is too much for me. I'd be like, y'all got to be grown.
I'm a social worker. Euphoria is very accurate. Okay,
yeah, it is, and I just hate to look at people like that. I'd be like, woo, too much.
It's a lot. What they be doing? What they be doing in
be
there?
Having to be kissing and stuff? Okay, look, y'all nasty. But all that to say, you know, we have the Toon Squad. They're here to play basketball. The issue here is that Algae Rhythm is assembling his own squad, right? And the way he does this is that he uses Dominic's technology. LeBron James' son, Dominic, has technology to where he can pretty much scan the likeness of basketball players into his game. So he could go to the NBA or the WNBA and get the likes of these big celebrities, you know, stars, superstar basketball players, and say, okay, well, y'all are now in the game as well. And so LeBron is going to have his work cut out because he has to go up against Anthony Davis from the Lakers, Diana Taurasi from the Phoenix Mercury, who has been playing basketball my entire life, I feel. Dame Lillard from the Trailblazers, Klay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and Nneka Ogwumike, I believe, from the LA Sparks, who also is the president of the WNBA Players Association. So he's got a star-studded team and a lot of work ahead of him with the Toon Squad.
Yes. And not only that, they put in his son. They add him to the game. And, you know, he's rather modest, you know, like back in the day on like 2K, NBA 2K and all of that, you know, mm-hmm. I used to play. You know, you could make your players, you know, his dribble at, you know, 100%. You know, he goes in very modest. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll go 75. And Don Cheadle's like, what you doing?
Right. Crank it up.
Right.
Crank it up.
Turn it up.
Now, look, I don't know what's wrong with Dom, because I remember when those games first came out, we all was up to 100. I wanted 100% everything. I wanted to step on the court, and you know it's me. Like, I'm shooting from half court. I'm dunking on people.
No, it's you.
No, it's me. This Dominic, like, well, I get 75. So 75? Let these people, you better stunt on these people.
But right.
Eventually he gets there with Algie Rhythm kind of poking him and prodding him to do it.
Yes. And he has this amazing squad now. And then they, Algie Rhythm also, at the same time, and this was curious to me, I was wondering how they're going to do it, because I'm like, okay, is this like, as they're in this, what's it called? The sphere?
The serververse.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, is this in real time or did it pause? Like, and I'm thinking like, is it going to end and they're going to be back on the elevator? But no, it was actually in real time because his wife was looking for him. And they ended up tracking his phone to the server. Now, here's my thing. Like, mm-hmm. WB got to step their security up.
Yeah, because this is the second group of people who've just walked into the serververse. Like, first it was Dom and LeBron. And you could say Algie Rhythm maybe let them in, you know. But Kamaya and Malik show up. Kamaya being his wife and Malik being, I guess, it sounds like maybe like an agent or a homeboy. They show up looking for LeBron and Dom. And they just walk in, too.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure why.
And Algie Rhythm is busy zapping other people into the server sphere.
Yeah, the serververse. So serververse. What he does is he uses the technology because he needs an audience. So he wants everybody to be watching this. So anybody who tunes into the live stream of the basketball game actually gets zapped into the serververse to be an audience for the big basketball game.
Hold on. Jalen Green.
Stop it.
Sorry,
stop it.
Trying to see if it's going to zap me in, but okay.
Stop it. So they zap in like pretty much, it looked like thousands of people to watch this game. I think even Lil Rel from Get Out shows up to be a commentator. He looks very confused as to why he's there. Ernie Johnson Jr. is the other commentator.
Legend.
And he's a very popular commentator. But Lil Rel is there too. So that just shows you that everybody gets zapped in. Matter of fact, LeBron's whole family gets zapped in too. Yeah.
And the game starts, the player's there, and LeBron sees his wife. He tries to run up to her, but, you know, it's some type of force field. She's like, where you are? Where's Bronny? But, right. The players come, and I think that one of the things that was, like, so interesting to me was that, like, before the game started, his other son said to LeBron, like, what's the son's name?
Dominic.
He's like, this is Dominic's game. And LeBron is like, it's basketball. And the son's just like, no, dad, but this is, you know, his game. And at that point, LeBron doesn't really make the connection. He's still like, I'm the king of basketball. This is what I know best. And if I'm going to fight to get my son back, I'm going to do what I have to do.
Yeah. And he's going to do it the way he knows how to do it, which is probably not the best, course of action here, because he's very much inside a video game. So the people he's playing against are also a part of the video game. Algie Rhythm's Goon Squad has basically been transformed into superhero versions or supervillain versions of themselves. So Diana Taurasi is now the White Mamba, and she's half snake. Klay Thompson is Wet Fire. He's fire and water.
Yes, that would be me, Wet Fire. Whew.
I bet. Nneka is
the spider.
I think it was Arachnica. Yeah.
Oh, Arachnica, come on with the words.
Yeah. And then Anthony Davis is the brow. Mm-hmm. He's half eagle and he has a big eyebrow. And then later on, of course, we see Dame Lillard showed up as like the secret weapon. But Dom is there too. And Dom also has superpowers based on him turning up his attributes, like Bryce explained earlier. So, well, LeBron's plan is to just play straight up basketball against video game players, and that's just not going to work.
Yes, and mind you, when he was practicing with the Looney Tunes, the Looney Tunes were, like, you know, doing their Looney Tune-esque type of things. You know, you got Meet the Road Runner going all crazy. You got Tasmanian Devil. Mind you, I had Tasmanian Devil pajamas. And the one...
That guy, okay? He's great. I love that.
The one with the socks on him.
The footies?
The footies, like, built in. And mind you, I'm in, like, eighth grade. But anyway, they are, like, you know, doing what they know best. And throughout the whole time, LeBron is saying, like, no, you got to focus. You got to focus. And Bugs Bunny is like, well, you also have to have fun. And then at another pivotal point for me, it's like, oh, he's like, you're that type of king. Just alluding to, like, you know, a tyrant, like, you know, not really bending, like, my way or the highway. And again, a common theme in this, even when we see before he gets to play in the basketball game, and, you know, the son, his other son is like, this is Dominic's game. So, you know, you have to kind of sort of change your ways. And of course, the game starts and Bay Bay Day is blowing the Toon team out the water. They dunk in on a court that's moving. LeBron's like, that's cheating. They're doing all types of, you know, very much animated Warner Brother Toony things. And they're getting all of these points.
And it's hard to watch because LeBron doesn't know what's going on. Like,
how can you not see it? Like, bro.
Right. How can you not see it? There are power ups on the floor that you got to jump on. And there's only two really good basketball players on the court on his team. And that's him and Lola. Aside from that, no, this is not going to work. I think at some point they're down 300 points to 30. Like, that's insane. Algie even decides to let Dom sit down for a second so they can bring in Dame Lillard, who is Kronos, who controls time, and he's able to, like, make time slow down, and he can move around the court really, really fast and score a lot of buckets. So Dom is basically destroying his dad in basketball, which for anybody who's ever played basketball with their dads, it is a glorious moment when you can finally beat them in basketball, but they hate it. Oh my God, they hate it.
Right. Okay. Sometimes a lot of families may even become violent.
No, that's us playing spades. Dominoes. I flipped that table over. We playing some dominoes. Spades, you see a different side of Chappelle.
Right. Spades is cheating. It's why you keep pulling your ear when you putting down the hearts.
Don't let nobody renege.
Right. Oh,
wait a minute.
A renege has ruined multiple Thanksgivings.
Look, and Christmases. We don't even fool with one of my cousins because they threw off suit one time and I still ain't let it go to this day, Bryce. Don't get me started on spades.
First of all, bitch, you got 7 suits in your hand and you only bid 3. So, like,
right.
Anyway,
why are you underbidding?
What?
Yeah, for why? So
I've been winking at you the whole time. Okay, anyway. Ooh, sorry.
Anyway, sorry. Basketball, again, tearing people's lives apart.
So, and again, before they even start the game, LeBron tries to talk to his son. And again, I also feel like this is very true to a dad and a son or anyone in a parental role. Say, like, you've got negative friends around and, you know, they're like, don't hang around, like, even Boys in the Hood-esque. Like, don't hang around those type of friends. Like, they're not good for you. They're going to bring you down. And, you know, Dom's like, no, Algie Rhythm is great. You know, and LeBron is like, no, he's literally trapping all of these people here. And so Dominic does not see that at this point. Also, which another part that actually made me laugh, was during halftime, before they brought out their secret weapon of that other guy that Chappelle was explaining, LeBron goes into the soccer room, and I don't know if it's Tasmanian Devil or Daffy Duck. One of them is like, you know, we brought in a legend to help us, Michael Jordan. Now, and mind you, I'm like, oh my God, why I ain't seen no memes that they brought Michael Jordan back? Like, how dope is that? Like, I really thought it was Michael Jordan, and I really thought that I was like, like, how did I not know this? This is such a great surprise. But listen, it was an even better surprise because it was Michael B. Jordan. was done. Okay. I was feeling like Lori Harvey for a second. Okay?
Oh my gosh. I bet you were. Michael B. Jordan is not the Michael Jordan we expected, but he did make a cameo briefly. I honestly thought he might actually play in the basketball
game. I was like excited.
But he had no interest in that at all. In the first Space Jam, a couple celebrities made cameos and popped up in the basketball game, but this time, not at all. So in the locker room, what they end up talking about is basically like, we're down by 1,000 points.
1,000.
Okay. Lola Bunny's giving a pep talk, but LeBron ain't having it. He's saying, y'all are the problem. Y'all are not focusing. Y'all are trying to be loony, and it's just not, y'all aren't listening to me. If y'all just do what I say, I'm LeBron James, I'm the king of basketball, listen to me and we'll be fine. But the team quickly realizes that, no, Bron, it's your own son that is, it got us in this mess. You are the problem.
Right.
Why aren't they kind of looking at him like, well, why are you not a better parent? I think Bugs Bunny even said, well, you're the one who's a bad dad. Why are you yelling at us? And I'm like, whoa, that cut me deep.
Right. And it's in those moments, a lot of the time, I feel like in our lives, when we're like in college or we get our own jobs and we start making our own money and we're like not dependent so much on our parent and the relationship from our parents. Well, this is what I got from it. It shifts from like, okay, like they're our parents. They're always going to be our parents. But you know, when you're an adult, it's almost like, and I don't want to say your parent becomes your friends, because your mom will be quick to tell you, I'm not one of your little friends.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in order to like maintain the relationship, the parent has to shift a little. Like they have to allow you to like be an adult, make a mistake, and still support and love on you. And I really felt like in that moment when Bugs Bunny said that to LeBron, that was him getting it. Like, you know what? Like, this is Looney Tunes. Like, you know, I've been a tyrant on you guys. I've got to let you guys be you. Also, I got, now, you know me, living your truth, you know, okay. Your superpower is what makes you different. And for me, what I got from this was that, like, you know, he's playing with a bunch of like Looney Tunes and they're all characters. And it's like, you know, we're trying to fit into this society, you know, we're trying to, you know, fit into this heteronormal society. And I don't fit into the society. And it's only when you realize that, listen, bitch, I'ma be me. I'm going to do what makes me comfortable and not what makes you comfortable, is when we really unleash our powers, is when we really can be like ourselves. And you know me, I say it 1,000 times, living your truth, walking your walk, be you, like forget what people say. And for me, this was that pivotal moment when LeBron really encouraged the team to say, you know what, Tasmanian Devil, go out there and spin on the court. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Roll runner, go around there and meet me. And, you know, and once the team started to do that, living in their truth and being, allowing their superpower to shine, we started getting them buckets.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're basically telling him, like, what is good for you is not good for me. And that's okay. And that's the same thing for Dom. You are LeBron James. Dom is not LeBron James. He's Dom James, you know. And so I think Dom told him, you never just let me do me. And that stuck with LeBron throughout the movie. But it's so true. You just never, he never let him be his true self and to focus on what the things that make him good. I think a lot of times in life, we focus on our weaknesses, especially at work, you know, like, I'm not good at this, or I don't like meetings and all this other stuff. It's like, yeah, but when you get a chance to shine, that's why you got the role. That's why you're in that position, because there is the thing that you were really good at that makes you valuable. And so stop focusing on so much on what you're bad at. Maybe, of course, try to improve those areas where you can, but always shine when you have the opportunity to do so. And I think this was just Dom basically saying, like, you know, or LeBron finally come to terms with the fact that he hasn't been letting the Looney Tunes be loony and shine in their own perspective ways. And this is a video game. You know, there's a lot to be earned in the video game if you just kind of let go of what the normal rules are. So I totally agree with you there, Bryce. And it was fun to see them actually come out with a new game plan. I think Bugs Bunny draws up the plays, and now they got wiggle room to actually try to make a comeback when the second half starts.
Right. And they kill it with the support of Daffy Duck as they as the head coach. And it even gets to the point once Dom sees how much his dad is killing it, but not only killing it, but having fun. And then Don gets to see how upset Al G-Rhythm gets, Dom decides to, you know what? I ain't going against my dad, society, okay? Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't breaking up my homes, prison, okay? Y'all ain't killing my dad, police. Dom really decides to say, you know what? I'm going to diss my dad, and I'm sticking by him, okay? And he goes and starts to play for the dad team. And shout out to, I forget, what's the character name? The grandma mom?
Granny.
She's like, I knew this might happen, so I packed an extra jersey. First of all, Grandmama and the Matrix was killing it. We ain't talk about her killing it in the Matrix.
There were a few good moments during this game that stood out. Granny, of course, being the Matrix is amazing, but also Notorious P.I.G. Talk about the rap battle that pops off in the middle of the court. Porky Pig was doing the things, okay?
I wanted Lola to be Little Kim so bad.
We needed that moment, right? We needed that moment.
But yes, so there were so many great, like, little gems like that popped up. And then, but once Dom decided to stick by, that's my dad, and I'm sticking by him, then Don Child, Algie Rhythm, was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to turn into the super do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- dude, at this point, Algorithm looking aight.
No, not the Don Cheadle thirst.
And, you know, Don Cheadle is doing his thing, but clearly it's a Warner Brother film, family friendly film. And so they get to their tied 1,041 to 1,041, something close to that.
Yeah.
There's only 10 minutes left in the game. And, you know, I was about to say Don Cheadle, but LeBron James and Dom talk. And they're like, well, what could we do to stop this? And they remember when they were playing the original game and they were doing LeBron's move, step back, crossover, pivot, shoot, something like that.
Step back, shoot. Yeah, they get. Yeah, it's a glitch. So that's the move that, you know, initially ruined Dom's game. The one, you know, when he said it would take a week for him to fix it, it was that glitch. And so they realized that maybe that will, you know, cause the game to crash. Because to this point, they were doing pretty good, but Algorithm is better than them because he basically has a cheat code. You know, he's in the computer. So it's hard for him to get out of this. I think Daffy Duck calls him a son of a glitch. And I screamed, okay? I screamed. I thought that was so funny. I was like, I got to call Bryce a son of a glitch when we talk about this. But yeah, so the point is to make the game crash because they need to get out of here because it just doesn't look like they'll be able to beat Algorithm on, you know, pure talent alone.
But the glitch in the game is if the game glitches, the player might get deleted.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know whether or not it will work on LeBron because he's a real player. But LeBron being the black father is willing to take the hit for the team because he wants to end this and really show to his son that, like, I lame down my Looney Tunes for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's another thing we really didn't talk about. See, the Looney Tunes are invested in this basketball game because if they lose, Algorithm didn't tell them this initially, but if they lose, they all get deleted anyway. So they are just as invested in this moment as LeBron is and Dom. So LeBron does try to take the ball and his goal is to do his glitch of a move because he's like, okay, worst case scenario, I get deleted out of the computer, but I still have a real life to go back to. Unfortunately, Bugs Bunny steals the ball from him because he doesn't want LeBron to risk that. And he does the move instead. Yeah. Causing the game to glitch. He throws the ball up for LeBron James to do an alley-oop. And that's kind of like the big moment of the film. Wouldn't you say, Bryce?
I absolutely would say. Because LeBron was irked that Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
Ooh.
The goat.
The goat. That Bugs Bunny took it and sacrificed himself. However, it's looking like the ball ain't going to make it. So LeBron jumps into action. He sees one of them super boosts, jumps on it, and is like, we in slow-mo now. Mm-hmm. Now the Don Cheadle man, Algorithm, is on his top. He gets on top of him and it's looking like he's not going to be able to make it. And Dom is over there on the side like, what can I do? What can I do? And he sees another super punch. And of course, it's his game. And like, you know, it's in Looneyville. No rules really apply. So he picks the super punch up off the ground and throws it. And just when LeBron and everyone's like, he's not going to make it. Boom. He hit him with it.
And yeah.
Bronny get the bucket with it. Okay.
Yeah. Bron posterizes Algorithm. Algie, of course, turns into a poster. Bryce, do you remember when people used to say posterize?
I do.
Yeah. I had the NBA posters. I would get them from Sports Illustrated for kids. I would get them like out of the store and stuff. Whenever I would see one, I'm like, oh, I have to get this. you know, this Charles Barkley poster or whatever. So I had a few of them, but I never had enough money to buy like a big, you know, nice poster. But I would always like take the ones out of the magazines that were in the middle. And so, yeah, posterizing was very much a thing. I don't know if it's so much a thing now. Do people still have posters?
I don't know if people even really still get magazines like that.
Yeah, like it might be, you know, print might be just going out of style almost, especially. Yeah. But I remember those days, that and like basketball cards. I used to have those too. But yeah, Al G turns into the poster and the Toon Squad wins it all. Everybody's transported back to the real world. Except Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny is injured by the glitch.
He's the and rest in peace to Frankie, Keisha Cole's mom. Man down. He is down, but he wins the heart and the eyes of Miss Lola, because that's the most non-looniest thing he's ever done.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad for me because, you know, I'm like, man, Buzz Bunny, you really sacrificed yourself, but he got what he ultimately wanted. He was very sad when his friends and family all left him in Toon World alone. And so here he is, surrounded by his friends and his family. And I guess he really couldn't ask for more in this moment. He got what he wanted after all. Dom and LeBron are reunited with their family too. And then they go back home.
Right.
So basically a week passes and we see LeBron getting ready to drop off Dom at basketball camp. And Dom has his basketball and he's like, oh, dad, I'm ready to go. Da, 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 da. And they, you know, it's been a week. So I guess they've been talking about, you know, the crazy events that happened. But Dom looks up and they're not even at basketball camp. They're at the E3 gaming convention that he wanted to go to. So it looks like LeBron has kind of learned his lesson, you know, like not to force his life and his wants and needs on Dom and just kind of let him be who he is.
Right. And I think that that's like the greatest gift that any parent can give is that, like, love your kids. Allow them to be who they want to be, you know, under your supervision and support and love. But it's like ultimately, like, no matter what, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. Like, you got to like support their dreams and support them. And so for me, that was just the biggest thing that I got out of this movie was that, like, you know, and I would imagine for the 45-year-olds that are watching and criticizing, saying that it's horrible, maybe y'all really need to look at the message because I think y'all are missing it. But no, I really did enjoy it. And I love the message. And again, it's like, just support your kids, support yourself, support your dreams. Even sometimes, like, sometimes I feel like we're the LeBron of ourselves to our inner Dominique. Yeah. And it's like, you know, we are like, we got to work every day, got to work my 9-to-5. But it's like, you know, we don't go after our passion. We don't really go after the things that really make us tick. And sometimes we got to like do what makes us happy. Not like sometimes we got to bet on ourselves. Sometimes we got to, you know, quit our job. Sometimes we got to go for the new job. Sometimes we got to go for the new relationship. Sometimes we got to end the relationship. Sometimes we need to apologize. So I, again, you know me, I there's so many things that I could apply it to in my life and like people that I know that's why I was just like, you know, I don't remember getting this out of Space Jam 1, but however, I was 5. So I don't know what inspirational messages that were there, but I definitely saw a whole bunch of threads throughout Space Jam, the new legacy, that I ultimately was like, I love this. And I, like, you know, I'm in my early to late 20s and I can apply this to my life. So I don't know what these 45-year-olds on Twitter are talking about, but I don't have no bad words other than, you know, at times LeBron's acting was subsequently questionable, but Michael Jordan was no Denzel. Like,
well, I think we're yet to see that. I think if we go back and watch Space Jam, we can talk about that. But for sure, I agree with you here. Bron, you know, in the acting category, he's not an actor, so I didn't expect too much from him there. So I wasn't really disappointed. And then also, like you said, there's a lot of things in this movie that you can apply to real life, and I just don't know are in Space Jam 1. And so I'd be interested to kind of explore that. But this movie ends on a high note. You know, like I said, he takes Dom to his convention. You can tell LeBron has learned, you know, not to force his own views on his son. And Bugs Bunny even pops up. The Toons have popped up in the real world. He's not dead. He is not deleted. They need to crash at LeBron James' house. I know his wife is not going to be okay with that, but, you know, it's fine. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%. The themes in the movie, the kind of, you know, the underlying, you know, motto and, you know, run through line of just like, hey, you know, think about what's important to you, but then also let people do what's important to them and don't get hyper focused on one way of doing something when, you know, you can open your mind to different possibilities. I think all those things make this a pretty decent movie, especially for kids. Now, for grownups, yeah, I'm like, okay, whatever. But for children, yeah, this is no worse than what Spy Kids 2 or something like that, you know, so it's not like this is the worst thing I've ever seen. It just wasn't for grownups to, you know, completely latch onto. I think if you watch this with your kids, they might like it. I guess my real question is, do the kids even know what the Looney Tunes are? Are they even relevant in 2021?
I think after this movie, they are. I think that this will, again, it will re-inspire or, you know, bring back, which is, again, why I liked the new legacy of it, because it's like, it's a new legacy, starting a new legacy, but bringing the old legacy with us. And so, like, you know, some kids, they might not have never seen it, but I'm sure now they can go stream it or watch it on their YouTubes like they do on their phones to get into some of these like fun characters. So it's a win-win for everybody, essentially.
Yeah. And that's the end of the movie, Bryce. How you feel? Yes,
I feel great. I'm trying to build my own like Looney Tune team with these new draft picks.
Oh my gosh. Stop it.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay? So you're a Houston fan, a Charlotte fan, and now a Clippers fan.
Yes. Well, Detroit.
Okay.
So the Pistons. So right now it's the Pistons, the Rockets, and Charlotte is what we're going with right now this season. So I don't know anybody want to do any NBA. What y'all call them? Draft picks?
Yeah, we do like mock drafts. We do fantasy basketball.
Fantasy.
No, okay, we don't want to get into your fantasy. We good on
my
that.
My algorithm is not.
No, stop it. Out. Bryce, please.
Okay, but just know my ketchup ain't warm. But anyway, Chappelle, thank you so much for answering the call. You know, I know you busy. So, Purple Pants Posse, this is a posse cast today.
Yeah, posse cast.
I don't know when we're going to get another one. So, listen, we got to treat these like, you know, we got to treat these like the cousin that keep going to jail and then he come home. So like,
Am I Lim from Soul?
You okay. Okay. Terry just got Lim out of jail.
So I'm Lim and you Faith.
Okay. So we just going to celebrate that. But thank you so much, Chappelle. But before we go, what you got cooking? What's like where? What's coming up? Where can the people follow you? What rewatches are you doing? What's over there in the Chappelle sphere?
Okay. So I've been very busy. As you know, so today we released the episode. Well, I'm sorry, I guess last week the episode of Post Show Recaps.
Real quick, hold on, because I don't know when it's going to air.
So that's what I said last week, but whenever.
Just say like what stuff you're doing, and just Bryce, remember to edit this part out.
Got you. Ready? Go. So yeah, I have recently did the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie recap. Yes, from back from when your late high school years as well, Bryce.
Trini!
We talked about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, me and Jason Reed with Josh Wiggler on Post Show Recaps. Recently, I was on the Wrestling Rahappa with Matt and Mari Forth, and my tag team partner, Trey J, aka Jacob Jones. So that was very fun. Every week, Rob and I are talking about a different reality show from back in its heyday. So we've been doing the Reality Rewind. I think our most recent one was The Average Joe with Jenny Autumn. I cover Big Brother recaps with Rob whenever they will allow me to come on. I'm always happy to do it. I recently did the What You Doing podcast with Felipe Shimon, Will Kama Davis, and Navi. And that was a good time as well. I was on the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast, talking about sports and stuff. And me and Sasha Joseph have covered now Love and Hip Hop.
Yes.
I picked up where Bryce left off. We talked about episodes 3 and 4 of Love and Hip Hop, but we also talked about Never Have I Ever, the hit Netflix show on Post Show Recaps as well. And I think Sasha and I might be talking about Never Have I Ever on her podcast, The Silent Pod, very soon. And so I've had a lot of stuff going on, Bryce, but I, of course, could not wait to make time to come on the Purple Pants podcast and talk to the posse about Space Jam. And I'm just waiting on you to let me know when we got to talk about the original. I'm ready.
Well, listen, keep shining, keep potting.
Yeah, and have your people follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. Bryce, did you know I was looking for a new Twitter name?
No.
Yeah, so Chappelle's show is it's not mine. You know, Dave Chappelle might have got to it first, but I've been using it on Twitter and I think I might need to rebrand. So if the posse has any ideas for what they should call Chappelle, It doesn't have to have Chappelle in it, but I think it has to have something about me in it. So yeah, if you got any ideas, sure, tweet me or something, or let Bryce know, send him an email or something. I don't know, but yeah, that's what I got going on.
So real quick, because I haven't changed Instagram name in a long time. Can you actually change it, or you have to create a new one?
Oh, no, I can change my Twitter name. Instagram might be different, but Twitter, for sure, I can definitely just change my ad. The problem is, once you change it, someone can get your old one. And so I kind of like want to make another one all together and just save Chappelle's Show. Maybe I might need it later on. But I do want to rebrand, Bryce. I'm Chappelle, but like I said, Dave Chappelle kind of got to Chappelle's Show first. And so I kind of want my own thing.
Okay. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to text you.
Okay. Yeah. Let me know.
Yes. Well, all right. Thanks, Chappelle. It's been amazing. And listen, continue to shine, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
The following message is brought to you by Give Me a B.
B.
Give Me an A.
A.
Give Me an R.
R.
Give Me a B.
B.
B. B. B. B. B. B.
Let me hear it.
B-A-R-B, bar, bar, bar.
B-A-R-B, bar, bar, bar.
Hi, this is Miss Bart, and I want to offer you a piece of advice. If I could offer you one piece of advice to hold in your heart, it would be to appreciate every second you have with the things that you love, be it places, objects, or people, because there is a last time for everything, and you don't always get to know that it's the last time when you're in it. There will be a last time you see a sunrise, a last time you taste ice cream, and a last time you smell a rose. There will be a last time you enter every room, a last time you hold every pet, and a last time you hear a loved one's voice. Sometimes we know we're in those moments and we can savor every second of them, but so often we don't know until that moment is gone and it's too late to go back and relive it. So, my dear friends, hold on to those moments while you have them. Live inside them. Appreciate them to their fullest every time, so you'll never regret taking them for granted one day when they're gone. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me.
And just like that, we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. Now, this week's Freak of the Week has made everyone's Friday for the last year and a half a better place. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you better know. And after this podcast, if you don't know, now you know. Every Friday, Russell Swan from Survivor Samoa and Survivor Philippines, or as I know him as Russ, he hosts a YouTube channel, Russ Can Fly, and you know, it's Upload Friday. Now, I've literally told everyone that I know, my mom, myself, every Friday, we watch Russ Can Fly, and it is truly inspiring. The name of this podcast is New Legacy, and I always talk about representation. I always talk about, you know, seeing things that you've never seen before, and Russell being a black man pursuing his pilot license on his YouTube channel, Russ Can Fly, is something so inspiring to me. It is, I can't explain it. If anybody that know Russ, y'all know Russ, he stuck in the 2000s. Ooh, no shade. We love Russell. Okay. Listen, he rides his motorcycle. And a personal note from Russell and I is that when I was in college, I worked at a shoe store, and while Russell's season of Survivor was on, his first season of the Philippines, Russell and his wife and his daughter, they used to come to my shoe store, and I fit his daughter for her first shoes ever and for like the first 3 years of her life. And I remember after it was a couple of times I fit the daughter's shoes, and you know me, I was always crazy Bryce. So the daughter loved me. And I remember after Russell's season aired, he came to the store and I was like, oh my God. In my head, I'm like, that's Russell from Survivor. Don't act out. Don't act crazy. And it's funny because let Russell tell this story. Russell says he came in the store and I was like, ah, it's Russell from Survivor. Now that's a lie. Okay. I don't know who y'all choose to believe. You choose to believe me. And I was just like, hello, Russell. I'm a huge fan of Survivor. Are you on Survivor? Or if you want to believe the Russell story where I was like, Russell! And I literally was like, I was so inspired by Russell. The fact that I knew who he was. I knew a survivor. He was the first survivor I ever met in my life. He was so gracious. And of course, in the store, it created a huge ruckus because everyone was like, oh my God, Russell, Russell, Russell. And so that's Russell and I's connection. An even more deeper connection in the church announcements. I was telling you about my alma mater, Temple University, just wrote an article about me, and Russell's daughter, the daughter that I fit, okay, she decided to follow in your baby boy's footstep and go to TU, and not only Temple University, she is currently staying in the same dorm that I stayed in. So it's so crazy. But anyway, back to the Freak of the Week. Every Friday is Upload Friday. Listen, when I tell y'all, I live for Upload Friday. Russell takes you through his ups, his downs. He might be flying and it's windy and he don't know what to do. You know, he struggled through his written exam. He went through it one time, failed it. And, you know, it was a testament to saying, like, you know, I need to do better. I have to get back. I have to hit the books. And, you know, we're on this road to a Russell becoming a pilot. And for him to announce in the last episode, spoiler alert, that he has his pilot's license. Russell Swand is definitely the Freak of the Week. He's been an ally, a friend to me. There's many a times that Russell has pulled me to the side on situations where I felt as though that, you know, things weren't, it was just some. And Russell definitely pulled me to the side and said, you know, from my perspective, I was, and just very much so big brother. And I can't tell you the kindness. Wendell and I had a party. Sabrina Thompson Mitchell came into town. Russell picked up Sabrina and her now husband, took him around Philly, took him to get cheesesteaks. Russell is such an amazing person. First of all, why he ain't been on his podcast yet? Okay, we're gonna have to figure that out. But anyway, to see this black brother pursuing his dream to become a pilot, and not only pursuing it, but sharing with us the ups, the downs, maybe the parts that he doesn't want to share. And you get this every Friday on Russ Can Fly. Okay, every time he posted, I be in the comments, Upload Friday. So it is my honor, it is my privilege to announce that this week's Freak of the Week becomes to the new black pilot that I know as Russell Swand. So if you follow Russell on Twitter, on Instagram, he's at Russ Kid. Okay, go to the post, let him know he the Freak of the Week, congratulate him. And listen, he's at about 600 followers on the YouTube. Let's get him to 1,000. Come on, let's help this brother out. Russ Can Fly is absolutely the Freak of the Week. Congratulations, Russell, because he is a member of the Purple Pants Posse, if you don't know. Okay, new legacy. If Russ Swan is the Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. I cannot thank you enough for listening. I can't thank you enough for supporting me. I can't thank you enough for just being you, showing up and listening as your true, authentic self. I appreciate it. If you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcast from. We there, okay? I might have been on vacation in Iceland, but my Uncle Pookie was definitely riding around Philly, giving out the subscription in his trunk. Please make sure you write a review. Please make sure you give your baby boy 5 stars. And make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that Russell Swan is a new pilot. And guess what? It's a new legacy. Cause it's a It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants, it's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants, it's the purple pants.